A reading from Acts, the 23rd chapter, verses 12 through 35. When it was day, the Jews made a plot and bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who made this conspiracy. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have strictly bound ourselves by an oath to taste no food till we have killed Paul. Now therefore, you, along with the council, give notice to the tribune to bring him down to you, as though you were going to determine his case more exactly, and we are ready to kill him before he comes near." Now the son of Paul's sister heard of their ambush, so he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the tribune, for he has something to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the tribune and said, "Paul the prisoner called me and asked me to bring this young man to you as he has something to say to you." The tribune took him by the hand and going along asked him privately, "What is it that you have to tell me?" He said, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the council tomorrow as though they were going to inquire somewhat more closely about him. But do not be persuaded by them. For more than 40 of their men are lying in ambush for him, who have bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, waiting for your consent." So the tribune dismissed the young man, charging him, "Tell no one that you have informed me of these things." Then he called two of the centurions and said, "Get ready 200 soldiers with 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen to go as far as Caesarea at the third hour of the night. Also provide mounts for Paul to ride and bring him safely to Felix the governor." And he wrote a letter to this effect: "Claudius Lysias, to his excellency the governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them when I came upon them with the soldiers and rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman citizen. And desiring to know the charge for which they are accusing him, I brought him down to their council. I found that he was being accused about questions of their law, but charged with nothing deserving death or imprisonment. And when it was disclosed to me that there would be a plot against the man, I sent him to you at once, ordering his accusers also to state before you what they have to say against him." So the soldiers, according to their instructions, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. And on the next day they returned to the barracks, letting the horsemen go on with him. When they had come to Caesarea and delivered the letter to the governor, they presented Paul also before him. On reading the letter, he asked what province he was from. And when he learned that he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will give you a hearing when your accusers arrive." And he commended him to be guarded in Herod's praetorium. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor Stephen Bielenberg, King of Kings Lutheran Church, Roseville, Minnesota.
In Matthew 4, we read that after Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. My sainted friend and colleague Richard Hamlow called that one of the great understatements of the Bible. Most of us would agree. Most of us may have trouble fasting a few hours before a medical procedure, but 40 days? In Acts 23, we hear about 40 Jews who vow not to eat or drink until they kill the Apostle Paul. While some people can live up to 3 weeks without food, most of us could only go a week without water. The only thing these men hunger and thirst for is the blood of Paul. When these men swear to God that they will not eat or drink until they kill his number one evangelist, you have to wonder what God makes of it, but you don't have to wonder for long. Luke tells us that once these Jews plot their ambush, Paul's warned by his nephew. A centurion leads this young man to the tribune, Claudius Lysias, who hears him out and sends him away with these words, "Tell no one that you've informed me of these things." Claudius commands 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen, as well as an extra horse or two, to bring Paul safely to Felix, the governor. In his letter to Felix, Claudius describes how he had already rescued Paul, knowing that he was a Roman citizen. And now that he's discovered the plot to ambush the apostle, he sends Paul to Felix at once, ordering his accusers also to state what they have against him. In the wee hours, Paul passes safely, surrounded by a host of soldiers. Once again, we see where God were good in a situation where men worked only for evil. Claudius turned Paul over to Felix. The state had no charge against him, but the Jews with rumbling stomachs did. Old ways die hard, and the good news of Jesus Christ would not be heard without it being challenged at every turn. They didn't want to hear about the cross. They didn't want to hear Christ's words of mercy and compassion. They wanted it their way. The thing is, it's not about us, no matter how much we may want it to be. As important as he is in this story, Paul's nephew is only described as the nameless son of Paul's nameless sister. Our names may not go down in history either, but they are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's the only place that matters. What Paul experienced was not so different from what many Christians experience in our world today, even in our own country. The American ideal of freedom of speech only seems to apply to those who are saying the right thing. That didn't stop Paul, and it doesn't stop us either. Baptized in Christ's name, we know that Christ stands beside us in trouble and injustice as surely as he stood next to Paul. We are bold to speak of Christ's love, and it is our privilege to tell of his death and resurrection for all people. As Paul's life was saved, that he may testify to the life and ministry of Jesus Christ at least one more time, may God continue to put his people in all the right places today, that the name of Jesus continues to be proclaimed until every knee shall bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ as Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We thank Pastor Stephen Bielenberg for this meditation on God's Word.